Welcome to Inside Out, the Naked Truth, where we explore everyday issues to discover their core truth so we may understand them, open our hearts, add a little more fun to our lives, and see it all from another perspective.
Tonight's show is coming to you live from Lupin Lodge in the Los Gatos Hills of California, where clothing is optional, but the truth is always naked.
I am Rochelle Alicia Strider.
And I am Errol Strider. And together we're going to explore these truths, in a couple quotation marks, through humor, conscious conversation. We have to be conscious, Rochelle. Poetry, perhaps some music, skits, and hopefully your comments.
Tonight's show is brought to you by Go Raw, 100% natural, organic raw food that not only tastes good, but it's good for you.
And it's good for you. Speaking of body parts, good for those body parts. Go Raw can be found in Whole Foods in the organic section of Costco, among other places. So go to goraw.com to find a store near you and find out more about the Go Raw products so your body can be a better body.
Well, Errol has used the word body so many times just to whet your appetite to tonight's subject, which is body parts. And body parts sounds like we've been dismantled. And this show is about putting it together. I mean, it's quite remarkable that the percentage of humans being born with the same body parts as other humans is really high. I mean, we all, to name a few, have eyes, ears, noses, mouths, skin. We have cheeks, chins, foreheads, necks, shoulders, arms with parts, and legs with parts, chest and torsos, and even sexual and elimination parts. We have hands with fingers and nails, and we have feet with toes and nails. And that's just on the outside. We also have tongues, teeth, throats, lungs, hearts, and livers, stomachs, intestines, bladders, and bowels. And then there are all those muscles and bones and connective tissues, not to mention cells and atoms. And wonder of wonders, brains. It is truly awesome. But do we give all these parts the appreciation they deserve just by being our composition? Are we appreciative of what they truly have to teach us? They all cooperate to make us physical, emotional, intellectual, and spiritual beings who respirate. Do we even find it amazing that all these parts age and wear out? Do we have unseen parts that go beyond the body and are eternal? Oh, how delicious is that? Oh, but let's get back to body parts. They are with us from conception. We evolve because of them. They compose who we are. They frame us, define us, individuate us until all of us is a part of humanity itself. We will be defined, humanity coming into union. Our species will have one voice ready to stand as a part of the universe itself.
Of the universe body.
Yes.
Body parts are we. Follow me and soon you'll see that each part is a present from Hashem. Please watch and take care of them. Here is my head. Here is my nose. Here are my eyes, ears, and way down are my toes. Here is my mouth, teeth and chin. Here are my eyebrows and eyelashes so thin. Here is my neck, and here's my back. Here's my shoulders that hold up my backpack. Here are my arms and elbows. My 10 fingers that help me do mitzvot. Body parts are we. Follow me and soon you'll see that each part is a present from Hashem. Please watch and take care of them. Here is my head. Here is my nose. Here are my eyes, ears, and way down are my toes. Here is my mouth, teeth, and chin. Here are my eyebrows and eyelashes so thin. Here is my neck, and here's my back. Here are my shoulders that hold up my backpack. Here are my arms and elbows. My 10 fingers that help me do mitzvot.
Just in case you needed reminding, that was a song by Shuri, spelled S-U-R-I-E, and her last name is Levilev, L-E-V-I-L-E-V, which is amazing. See, our son is named Lev, but he just has one Lev. He's not Levilev. Unless we're calling him to dinner, then it's Lev, Lev.
And we haven't done that in a long time either.
No, now he calls us to dinner. Dad, can I help you get to dinner? Thank you, son. Speaking of body parts, you know, being 70 years old, which I am, and I've had some body part issues, both great. I mean, think about your body part. Think about the times it calls attention to it. So
yeah, you never even know your stomach's there till it hurts.
Right. And how much effort we put into making certain of those body parts feel good, especially those that have to do with, you know, various orifices. If you think about it, orifices are like, in a way, it's not a body part. It's like the empty cup. You know, it's the conduit through which these
I wouldn't call it an empty cup. It's more like a doorway.
Yeah, that's it. It's a doorway. Well, it's an empty cup that had the bottom smashed out of it. But wait. So when I think about it, and I think about, you know, some of the ecstatic experiences that the body has given me and some of the painful experiences out of it, and Rochelle just, you know, she's wiping off one of her body parts right now after a sneeze. And that being the case,
start crying any minute. Oh,
that being the case, why don't we think about getting started with one of our sketches that sort of deals with this and inspired this piece? It's it's something. Give us a little introduction to it, Rochelle.
Well, the characters in this piece are called Lord and Lady Umbridge. And these characters were born one night when Errol and I had a bit of a disagreement. And I said to him, I take umbrage at that. And he immediately pulled out a English accent and said, oh, really, Lady Umbridge? And I said, yes, Lord Umbridge. Before we knew it, we were in a riff. In the voices of Lord and Lady Umbridge, and totally forgot what we had taken umbrage at. And so therefore these two characters were born, and we've given them many words over the past 20 years. But these words are quite the funniest. Well,
that remains for you to be seen.
If you think they're funny.
You may find it utterly gross. But here we
gross
go.
Gross has been called too.
Yeah, yeah. The Intimates, but it's kind of our way of taking a sideways look at something that we take for granted and kind of getting underneath it and saying, well, what's going on there? And we begin.
Lord Umbridge.
Yes.
Do you think we're very intimate with each other?
Yes, I'd say we're rather close, wouldn't you?
Yes. But I think we could be sharing more of ourselves with each other.
More of ourselves?
Yes. I think we could share more of what goes on inside of us.
Well, I'm open to that.
Well, you would like to share some inner stuff then.
Oh, yes, of course.
Then it wouldn't bother you if I let the hair on my legs grow.
The hair on your legs?
Yes, and the hair under my armpits. It's a part of me that I've been keeping back from you.
You're going to let the hair under your armpits grow?
Well, you've started growing a beard, haven't you?
Oh, it's not the same as letting the hair under your pits grow. It's rather...
disgusting.
Well, I wouldn't say that. It's just in poor taste, that's all.
I don't think it's in poor taste. It's just hair. You have hair on your head, don't you? You don't find that disgusting, do you?
Yes, but that's public hair.
Public hair? What are you talking about?
There's private hair and there's public hair.
Oh, you mean the hair on my legs and pits is private hair?
Well, it shouldn't be seen in public.
But we're not in public. We should be able to share everything with each other.
Oh, all righty then. Jolly good. Well, I'll expect you then not to complain about my sweating.
What does your sweating have to do with my letting my hair grow?
Well, you always seem to be offended by my sweat.
Not near as much as when you belch.
Stop there a minute. Belching is quite tolerable as long as you say, excuse me, and cover your mouth. It's no worse than, well, sneezing, unless you let that awful stuff get all over your hands. You must never let your hands be seen after a sneeze. Now, that's quite disgusting.
Oh, it's not as disgusting as snorting or gathering your spit. You know that kind of snorting sound you make before you spit? It's revolting. No wonder they don't let you do that in public.
Well, but we're not in public. We're at home where we can be intimate with one another, remember.
There's something else I want to talk to you about then. I think it's time that we were able to pick our noses in front of each other.
Pick our noses?
Yes, remove the, pardon me, snot.
The snot? Which snot?
Which snot?
Well, yes, the wet snot or the dry snot. Boogers, I think you call them.
What is the difference?
They're quite different. One can't control the wet snot. It kind of runs out on its own. Although one is expected to wipe it up before it leaves the nostril. And the dry ones, well, shouldn't be tampered with at all.
And why not?
Because you're going in after them. Mining for them, I call it. And it really is rather improper.
All right. If I can't pick my nose in front of you, you cannot fart in front of me.
Well, all right, then. If you must nose mine, do it. But please do not pee in front of me anymore.
What? Oh, you don't seem to mind peeing in front of me. But I'm not supposed to pee in front of you. That's rather a double standard, I'd say.
It's not a question of a double standard. My pee begins further away from my body than yours. It's just less unseemly for me to do it in front of you.
I think it's just as, to quote you, disgusting.
Oh, let's stop there, can we? I think we have enough intimacy at this point.
Well, what about the pooping?
The pooping, for God's sake.
Oh, you don't seem to mind when the dog does it, but you always leave the bathroom when I'm doing it.
It isn't the poop, it's the smell. Being intimate doesn't require that we share smells, does it?
That's not the point.
Well, what is the point, then?
The point is that it's a perfectly natural process, and I don't see why it should be excluded from the experiences we share with each other.
Oh, this is getting ridiculous. You want companion toilets, then, so that we can poop together?
Well, we needn't go that far, but you don't have to hide them.
I don't hide them. I flush them down the toilet. What are you getting at? Oh, I think we've taken this whole thing far enough.
Oh, you do think it's all disgusting, don't you?
All?
Yes, yes, yes. Everything that comes from inside the body. It's all disgusting to you. I know the way you run to wipe yourself after we make love. You even think sperm is disgusting.
It's not disgusting in its proper place.
And where is that?
Inside you or inside me, where it belongs. Not lying around the bed being messy.
Aha, it's the mess then. That's what disgusts you, isn't it?
No, it's not the mess.
What is it?
Well, you tell me, you have your own little noxious secretions, things that disgust the hell out of you. Vomit, that's one of yours, and blood, perfectly horrible to you. You quiver at the very sight of it. Admit it, it's all just as disgusting for you.
It is not.
It is. Can you pick my nose? Can you? Go on, Miss Hang It All Out. If it's so sweet, go mining in my nose. And don't stop with the nice dry ones. Go on in after one of the slippery, slimy, long, wet ones.
Now that's disgusting.
Oh, no. It's disgusting when it all comes out, when all the guts spill, blood spewing everywhere, all the body parts lying about in their disconcerting manner. Don't you think it's weird that we have a negative judgment about almost everything that comes out of the body? Oh, it varies in degree from improper to impolite. Oh, then it moves rather quickly to indelicate, poor taste, bad manners, revolting habits, repulsive behavior, horrible. And after that, you know what comes?
What?
Terror.
Terror?
Terror, because it all reminds us of our own mortality. Whether it's spitting or puking or peeing or pooping, it all reminds us that we're going to die, that we, in fact, are mortal, my dear.
Oh, that's awful.
Well, unless, of course, you're immune to it.
Immune to it?
Yes, that's when you make believe that none of the disgusting stuff exists.
So who does that?
Well, we all do, of course, by making it taboos. All of it must stay as taboos, allowed only in bad jokes and accidental embarrassments. Now, would you please mind not picking your nose in front of me?
Oh, of course, darling, not if it bothers you. I wouldn't want anything to interfere with our being close.
Close.
I got life, mother. I got life, sister. I got freedom, brother. I got good times, man. I got crazy ways, daughter. I got million-dollar charm, cousin. I got headaches and toothaches and bad times to like you. I got my hair, I got my head, I got my brains, I got my ears, I got my eyes, I got my nose, I got my mouth, I got my teeth. I got my tongue, I got my chin, I got my neck, I got my tits, I got my heart, I got my soul, I got my back, I got my ass, I got my arms, I got my hands, I got my fingers, got my legs, I got my feet, I got my toes, I got my liver, got my blood, I got life, I got life, sister, I got freedom, brother, I got good times, man, I got crazy ways. Million-dollar child, cousin. I got headaches and toothaches and bad times to like you. Oh! Got my head, got my head, got my brains, got my ears, got my eyes, got my nose, my mouth. I got my teeth. I got my tongue, got my chin, got my neck, got my teeth, got my heart, got my soul, my back. I got my eyes. I got my arms, I got my hands, I got my fingers, got my legs, I got my feet, I got my toes, I got my liver, got my blood, got my guts, got my muscles, I got life.
That's from Hair.
That is from Hair.
And it was sung by Gald McDermott. Did you know Gald McDermott?
He's the man who wrote the
That's what I thought.
Libretto.
Yeah.
No, the music.
Oh, he wrote the music.
He wrote the music, yeah. James Rado and Jerry Ragney are the guys who wrote the show.
Uh-huh.
I did know them. I was in the Open Theater with them, and in fact, I didn't know it at the time, of course, but we used to go out after we did our workshops and have snacks or whatever at different places on Second Avenue in New York City. And they were writing Hair at that time. They were just, you know, like jotting things down and getting the idea for it. They were pretty busy at it. And then everybody we knew tried out for it. And I just can't sing. Or I would have been in hair. I just can't sing. I just really can't sing. It's like one of those things that, you know, you wish you could do that, but I cannot do that. I can do lots of things, which I'm very happy to do, but I cannot sing.
So we want to remind you who we are and where we are. We're Inside Out, The Naked Truth, coming to you live, as we said, from Lupin Lodge, California. And it's tonight's subject is body parts. Our sponsor is Go Raw. We think that's a beautiful match. Naked Truth, Go Raw. In case you didn't
notice.
A match
made in heaven, actually.
Yeah. Or on earth. I have this insight that I want to share with you about the body. Your body is just a container that life gives you for a very short time to introduce you to life in the universe. So you can decide if you want seconds.
Well, that should make a lot of people happy because a lot of people want seconds.
Well, you know, I think that's one of the hugest, most major conundrums in human experience is we have this amazingly complex and yet organized and intelligent instrument, the body, and then we get identified with the body and depending upon which parts you get fixated on through
But you know, it's not even like the whole body. Like my grandfather had diabetes and he had a leg amputated. And I would say that the loss of his leg killed my grandfather, not the actual physical killing. You know, it's just his identity as a man with two legs strong who could move, walk, and do things with two legs. It just he just went downhill, and they said, you know, it wasn't physical, that he didn't die because he was by losing the leg. You know, his life could have been extended a long time, but his identity was so destroyed that he died not too long after that.
Sad.
Yeah, it was sad. It was really sad. And I think of how we identify with our body parts, you know. And the other thing that I find amazing is that all the body parts, though, they're the same. The arrangement of them on the smallest, minuscule, subtle level is so different that we all look different.
I know. I meant this guy, his eyes are right next to his toes.
Okay. That's not true.
Had such a unique perspective of life.
I'll bet.
Did you ever get down on the ground like where and look at life from the position your cat or little dog might look at it?
Oh yeah, I remember doing that. I remember doing that when our kids were little. I'd try to be on the same level as they were so I could be seeing life in a way from their perspective. And it was always very interesting. But you want to know what's really interesting?
Yeah.
Well, try standing on your head when a lot of people are walking by. That is really interesting in terms of a rearrangement of perception of how we look. Because you're upside down and everybody else is not. But they all look like they are.
Well, don't try this at home, or do.
I did that once. It was very interesting, to tell you the truth. No, I mean, if you can do that safely, you'll find it very fascinating. In parks where there's lots of people is the best place.
Yeah, you can hang from like a swing or something.
No, you can stand on your head on the grass.
Oh, okay. By the way, you know you can call in and talk to us on this show, and we'd love to hear from you. Our caller number is 888-627-6008. We'd love to hear about your body parts and what you think of them and how they're working for you. Like, they all have a function. You were talking about that just last night. Every one of those parts has a function. And so you could say that your body parts are like functionaries.
They are functionaries, and all our parts play a part in animating us to function as we were intended to.
Yeah.
That's interesting. That brings up a question of like, what were we intended to do? You know, were we just intended to perpetuate our life on the planet? Or is there like all those body parts coming together have a purpose?
Well, one could say, just the other day, you asked me the question, do you live to eat or eat to live?
I asked you that question?
it was someone who looked like you, or and it was in our house. You know, I don't want to gross you all out there, but tell them the story about we lived and where we, you know, we started off in a five-bedroom house.
Oh, I said, I was talking about the comparison of our homes. We lived in a 3,100-square-foot house, which is very large, and then we moved to a 1,180-square-foot townhouse, and now we're living in a small cabin, which I don't know how many square feet it is, but it's pretty small. It's one room and a very large dressing room with a toilet in it and shower. And and I said to Errol, we've gone from 3,100 square feet to 1,150, 80 square feet to a small cabin. The next stop is an urn. Since it's getting smaller and smaller, I figure, you know.
Yeah, it's amazing to me that we evolve out of this potential. I wrote a poem many years ago and put music to it and included it in a multimedia show that we traveled around Northern California with called Birth. And this poem is called Birth, and it kind of looks at it more from a, well, what would you say, like a cosmic perspective, and puts a kind of poetic look at the body parts getting ready to take stage.
Two lovers, one clad by another. The exchange, rush, and completion as soft, white, jelly-like fluid seeks to break the cycle of patient eggs. Enjoined, endless. The child, formed, unrecognized, swishes about and gathers the means by which to experience life. And mother, now only oval-shaped carrier feeder, waits for the emergence, though not alone. Body parts begin to assemble like dancers in a ballet, each adding dimension to the whole. Eyes prepare themselves offstage, warming up for when light captures their pirouettes. And the black and white faint sounds of the orchestra filter through many membranes, with only percussionists playing until meaning comes, like costumes in the dark. Little guns, brand new stomach, heart just new to pounding, do a pas de trois as little blood vessel capillaries twist their way through the stage like a chorus to untainted parts. In the wings, corpuscles ready themselves to meet expectant onslaughts. And the principal dancer, mind, warms up for the finale. Life bubbles afresh in this salubrious cavity. Energy and matter gather themselves for the special effort of first breath. Now all is one without distinction. And the unknowing pulsates through little unintended bounces and kicks. Now there is no perception of others. But soon, when the plop, then the pressure, and screams bear down the hairless pate, then feet, cavity opens and the awful push for life culminates between long, fleshy, wailing knees. The new life falls into the abyss. Cloistered existence grapples with its enemy infinity. Shall the unknown cosmos embrace this little one? Or will the warm walls of territory trusted once again enshroud this hesitant to be a human barnacle in the uterus? But pressured screams suspend unforeseen meaning questions, and the pure act of physicalizing takes precedence. In the arena of dilation and thighs, shoulders push against mother's pleasure walls, commingled with blood, dirt, and the oily, ecstatic sensation of being flushed into existence. As abdomen and genitals find their way to first bathing of air, screams fade, knees roll through, and tiny feet, too soon to stand on, swim their last. It lives.
Kind of takes you back to when you were just about to be born, doesn't it? Kind of brings back the memories.
Well, I think my earliest memory was sucking my thumb in the womb, but I'm not sure. I might be was influenced by pictures I'd seen.
Well, how does that?
Oh, movies.
That piece was produced so many years ago.
Wow. That's lovely. It's hard to believe that was you speaking it. It doesn't sound like you at all.
Well, that's before my voice changed. I was 12 when I wrote it.
I think so. I want to get back to the fact that all these body parts are composed so differently in each and every one of us so that we all look so different. And the amazing thing about it, you know, it's like it seems that we should have no model of what we should look like. When we all look so different.
What do you mean? We should have no model.
In other words, we have models out there, you know, that model clothes and model, you know, movie stars and things, and they model what our parts should look like.
Uh-huh.
And if our parts don't look like that, then we suffer in the comparison.
Right.
And that's what is sad to me because, like, because we're all so unique, it seems so wonderful that each of our uniqueness is out there, completely out there. And here we live in a place where completely out there means you're exposed, you're naked in the sunshine, you know, in the water, as we were in the womb. And that people would be so reticent to feel good about the uniqueness of their body parts, that it should be appreciated. You know, like, so I have bigger body parts over here than you have, or I have smaller body parts than you have, or I have...
Or smellier body part.
Well, that can always be rectified.
But you notice that Michelle's blushing now.
I'm doing in the intimates.
She's blushing. Lady Umbridge.
I'm Lady Umbridge right now. Oh, no, please don't speak that. Anyway, so I have a hard time with very smelly, with smells that are uncomfortable to me. And I don't even know why, but certain smells are really uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I'm not going there. I'm going into the distinction of our body parts and the fact that we don't appreciate their distinctiveness, that we're always comparing it to this model that's been set forth on our planet as to what is beautiful and what isn't.
Well, I wouldn't make that much of a generalization. I think that's probably more true of women than men.
American men, I think, are, you know, like, I mean, you know, movie stars at one time, only women would ever have face tucks and all that stuff. And now male actors do it all the time.
Uh-huh.
So it's like we have this obsession not only with what we look like, but how old we are as what we look like. So it's not just, we shouldn't look old in with our body parts, even though our body parts are growing old internally. You can't see them. As long as you can't see them, it doesn't matter.
Well, that kind of goes back to the premise of the piece, The Intimates, which we really haven't addressed. But as the character says, you know, we have taboos about all these parts because they do remind us of our vulnerability besides the obvious unpleasant aspects of them. If one regards them so, I rather imagine there are cultures and places where there aren't that kind of prejudice. It's just what is, you know, and we in the Western, quote-unquote, civilized world have developed certain biases, blah, blah, blah. But I do think part of it was in the historically that shift, you know, there's spirit and there's body, and religion made a big thing about that in certain religions, to keep, you know, this is your body and this is your spirit, and the righteous life.
Never the twain shall meet.
Right. And even in fairly enlightened and theological perspectives, there's this distinction made between the body and spirit as if they were opposites. And what I've come to appreciate in my own life experience in this body is that spirit is the bedrock out of which everything emerges. There is no opposite to spirit. It's the fundamental essence of existence and the springboard for love. In the sense that love is life manifest. Spirit is the unqualified potential of all existence that from which it all can spring, and then holds the constant, the stillness, so that all this movement and all these parts can come about and have this play, this dance of lila, this dance of intermingling and co-creation and creativity and expansion. My goodness.
The thing is that all those parts that you talk about, other than spirit itself, is material and defined and certainly not eternal.
Well, and then that
they
reason,
all die. Every part of us dies when we die.
As elegant.
Except maybe the spirit, of which we don't know because we haven't seen it in the first place.
Well, you know, so there's the dying part at the end, but then there's the part at the beginning, and I think it's important to appreciate, you know, the little bit out of which we emerged. So let's listen to this.
Every sperm is sacred. Every sperm is great.
Everybody out there on your toes. Michelle and I are dancing with the Hatton King as we speak. Those are her teeth tapping.
Thank you.
Tony, if you're listening to this, because of Lord and Lady Umbridge and Monty Python, we're thinking of you.
Hello, Tony, over in England, jolly good England over there, and all you other people. By the way, we haven't talked to posterity. For those of you who are part of posterity, we want to say hi, first of all, and hope you're doing better. And God, we hope we haven't screwed things up too much because of our compulsions that arise up out of much of our body and our attachment to it, probably more, and our judgments about it. So,
and our ignorance.
And our ignorance. So if we've screwed things up and you're able to hear this, we apologize, at least the two of us. We try to clean up our mess. And sometimes we're good at it and successful, and sometimes not so. However, I did write a poem that's called Body Free, and it's short, but it's intense, and it's kind of like looking at the emotional movement that causes us to go in resistance, and our body to go in resistance, and also the other side, our possibility of opening up and expanding into something truly liberating. And that's why this piece is called Body Free. And let's just take a little, put a little music underneath it just to give it that, Memphis stomp. I squirm to feel within the withered me. The stirring, boxed-up feelings that move me to gasp for buoyancy. To gasp for buoyancy. To wake to the upthrust flow, not to be controlled by tight, binding fear, but to stretch out into the free. My soul writhes in pain-soaked hope, fumbling for an opening into the unstifled, to toss off the heavy, tense, wrenching guilt choking me, wallowing me in shame, to break loose and fly circles into Bravo.
I would say that's becoming more than your body. You know, I had this experience. I have epiphanies, and this was one of them. I had this epiphany where I was really searching, like, who am I? You know, at every stage of our lives, I think we have to, in a sense, see ourselves anew and not try to hold on to how we used to see ourselves, but to realize that we change and we evolve and we become different. And anyway, I was asking the question of my inner being, who am I? And I took a shower, came out of the bathroom, and looked in the mirror, and my face, figuratively speaking, disappeared. It just wasn't there. And in its place was this very bright light. And I heard in my head, that's who you are. And it was definitely beyond my body. There was this light, and it was pulsating in terms of my own breath. And it wasn't a face with a nose and eyes and a mouth and cheeks and a forehead and hair. And I realized that. And you know, as we get, when you're young, and I'm sure if there are people listening who are young, you know, like, you may not appreciate this, but maybe you'll remember it. I do remember loving to be with older people, because there was something about them, I could feel their stories. And I love stories. I love people telling me stories. And here were people walking stories. You know, they had so many stories in their lives that you could just say something and they had a story for it, one that they had lived. And that was the charm for me of being with my grandmother and older relatives. Anyway, their body parts had gotten old, you know, really old. identifiably so. Like you see an old person, you go, oh, that's an old person. There's a whole look to them that definitely says we're older. And I had, and one of my epiphanies was there was that sense of that I have occupied the body of a fetus, an infant, a child, a toddler, a little girl, an adolescent, a young woman, a mother, an older woman, which I am now, an older woman. And yet there's this core of me that's still running around inside all these bodies. But the body, all those body parts have come together and aged.
Well, I did most of those. You know, I skipped a couple.
I'm sure you did.
I skipped puberty, and then I had to go back. And
haven't left it since.
Right. I had to go back and take the course again. And I haven't left it, right, as Rochelle will point out to me when she describes my sophomoric humor. And I insist that it's not just sophomoric. It can be junior humor or eighth grade humor.
Freshman humor. We're not going to give Errol sophomoric anymore. We're going to say freshman humor.
Or even fetal humor.
Fetal humor.
Here's a perspective that I'd like to take you on in terms of through music. We spend most of our lives with our bodies, wanting them to feel good, look good, be good, but mostly look good and feel good, and then our actions hopefully to be good. But think about how much energy we put into them just to feel good. So this song is really a wonderful opportunity, if you needed an excuse, to celebrate feeling good. So take this little journey, go for it. It's a song from Aurora the Grease Paint, Smell of the Crowd, and it's called Feeling Good. Here we go. Whoops. We got the wrong song. Here we go. Here it is.
But flying high, you know how I feel. Sun in the sky, you know how I feel. Breeze drifting by. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life for me, feeling good. Fish in the sea, you know how I feel. River running free, you know how I feel. Blossom tree, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life for me, feeling good. Dragonfly out in the sun, you know what I mean. Butterflies all having fun. Peace when day is done. That's what I mean. And this whole world, it's a new world and a bold world for me. Stars, when you shine, scent of the pine, you know how I feel. Freedom is mine. I know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life for me.
Wow.
Okay, this is your assignment, folks. Every morning, get up and sing that song in the mirror.
And if we're functioning and we're feeling good, our parts are behaving the way they're supposed to. Because the truth is, when our parts are behaving the way that we're supposed to, we are functioning and feeling good. And it's only when they're not functioning the way they're supposed to that we don't feel good. So I want to give an applause to our parts. I mean, they're doing the great stuff. You know, like we do a whole bunch of things, the things we do and our parts, you know, do them. Our parts do all those things. I'm just in awe of my parts tonight. That's it, ladies and gentlemen. I'm having a part appreciation.
Well, you kind of mentioned something about thinking and how that affects us. I think to a great extent, our culture, we still live in this dichotomy that there's the body and there's the mind and there's the spirit as something else. And yet we are of a whole, and it would seem to me, and so the whole system is connected.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, there's the obvious body, but then there's like what some people call the etheric body or the astral body, or certainly there's the emotional body. That's certainly a common term in psychotherapy, et cetera, and we need to learn to pay attention to those other bodies. And
yeah, I don't even know what my emotional body looks like. Huh? I know what it feels like.
It looks like cauliflower in the sunshine mixed with a little bit of asparagus and rosebuds.
You're so ridiculous. My body does not look like cauliflower. If anything, it might look like broccoli, but it wouldn't look like cauliflower.
In the sunshine?
No, not even in the sunshine.
Oh, okay. All right. So we are inside out, the naked truth. And you can call us at 888-627-6008. We're broadcasting from Lupin Lodge. Lupin Lodge is this beautiful place where we are fortunate enough to live, where there's a liberal feeling here. I know the word liberal has been, you know, tainted by certain
politics,
but here you come here and you have the opportunity to really make peace with your body. As a matter of fact, let me share this story. There was this young girl who really had a lot of judgments about her body and was embarrassed about it and ashamed of it for whatever reason. And she's probably not alone. There's lots of young girls and guys who judge their bodies. And the mother brought her here. She was not obliged to disrobe or anything, just to be here. And what happened was is that because she saw other people who were like naked walking around in every conceivable shape, it was healing for her. And she moved into, am I telling the story correctly?
Yes.
It moved into a place of acceptance. And so if you think about the way we clothe our body and we cover our body and adorn our body and affect different attitudes and looks to feel good, well, the beauty of coming to a place like this and being here is just to allow yourself to be as you actually are, at least in your body, without being covered up or otherwise attenuated by adornments.
And in a way, it's a quiet celebration.
I like that.
It's a quiet celebration of all our body parts having come together to form who we are.
You know, I don't want to leave out one very special part that kind of is the guiding light of all the other parts. And so let's stop and take a little minute to celebrate this particular body part. And I think you'll recognize what it is right off the bat, because you gotta have it.
You gotta have heart. All you really need is heart. When the odds are saying you'll never win, that's when the grin should start. You gotta have hope. Mustn't sit around and hope. Nothing's half as bad as it may appear. Wait till next year and hope. When your luck is batting zero, get your chin up off the floor. Mister, you can be a hero. You can open any door. There's nothing to it but to do it. You gotta have heart. Miles and miles and miles of heart. Oh, it's fine to be a genius, of course, but keep that old horse before the cart. First, you gotta have heart.
A great slugger we haven't got.
A great pitcher we haven't got. A great ball club we haven't got.
What do we got?
Idea.
We've got hope. We don't sit around and mop. Not a solitary sob do we hear, mister, cause we've got hope.
Boys, I'm proud of you.
We're so happy that we're humming.
That's the hearty thing to do.
Ho, ho, ho.
Cause we know our ship will come in.
So it's 10 years overdue.
Ho, ho, ho!
We've got heart! Miles and miles and miles of heart! Oh, it's fine to be a genius, of course, but keep that old horse before the car.
And there you have it. You gotta have heart.
Oh, you gotta have heart.
That's from Damn Yankees, for those of you who may or may not be familiar with musicals. Well, we're about to kind of tidy up our show here, tidy up, complete it. It's kind of messy there for a while, and we'll be cleaning
all
it up.
All those body parts.
All those body parts trying to go into, but they work so well together. I mean, what a celebration of amazing interconnectedness and harmony.
Yes, and which makes us believe that if we took our lesson from the way our parts cooperate and we become a part of humanity and cooperate with each other, we would have a very good time, a much better time than it seems like we're having.
And you know, one of my body parts is really calling attention to itself right now. And I'm so, in that sense, I wouldn't normally like to leave you, but I'm going to be glad for this break. But so we are Inside Out, The Naked Truth. We're going to be on next Tuesday. That would be March something or other.
No, April.
No,
oh, no, March.
No, we're
right,
skipping
right.
March, dear.
No.
And come join us. We're going to start getting into some of the issues that we believe really can turn our world around for the better, or at the very least, the world you live in your body, exactly where you are. And we want to thank our sponsor. Thank you, Go Raw, for doing your part to make these bodies healthier. And what a gift it is. So any last things to say, Rochelle, before we part?
Yes, yay body. I'm so happy that my body is a nice body, and it's been with me a long time, and I love my body. And when it leaves, I will be grateful for all the years it has given me.
It certainly has taught us a lot of lessons. Think about that between next week and tonight.